From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Darryl C. Murphy. Welcome to Consider This from Boston. It's been nearly a month since the Supreme Court overturned the constitutional right to an abortion. Since then, some states have moved to ban or severely restrict the procedure, while residents in states where abortion is protected are looking for ways to help people access one across state lines. And here's where things get tricky. You see, abortion rights advocates in Massachusetts are not seeing eye to eye on the best way to do that. WBUR health and science reporter Gabriella Emanuel looked into the debate, and she is here to tell us about it. Gabriella, it's so good to see you.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
So there is a debate among abortion rights activists. What's going on here?
Yes. So here's the issue. With the whole new landscape, there are likely to be a lot more people traveling across state lines to get an abortion. Mm-hmm. Now, that has prompted some people in states that guarantee access to an abortion, like here in Massachusetts, to volunteer to open their homes to people who are coming from more restrictive states.
Right.
Now, as those people offer to open their homes, these offers pop up in social media. So are the people who are warning them not to offer help, and they're warning people not to accept the help.
Right. I remember seeing that when the draft decision came out, there was some of that. People were saying, hey, you can come here to this state. You don't have to worry. Kick it with me, yada, yada. Now, the people offering to open up their homes, you know, those folks who are offering this help, what are they thinking?
Yeah. So I spoke to a few of them, and they tended to be coming from a very personal place. One person I spoke to is named Diane Ree. She's from the Worcester area. She offered to open her home, to feed people, to transport them, to give them a hug. She said she basically do whatever they needed. And she said when she made that offer, she was thinking of her 15-year-old and her 16-year-old.
I have a lot of guilt for my daughters that I gave them a world that is worse than what I had. So I think this is my way to try and make the world better. For not just my daughters, but everybody's daughters, right?
Another person I spoke to is named Michelle Ross. She is from Jamaica Plain, and she ended up posting her offer on Facebook on her college alumni page. And she said when she wrote her offer, she had her own abortions in mind. She got them when she was 19, 22, 23, and 25. And she told me she didn't regret or question whether that was the right choice for her. She was in abusive relationships, or she could have seen them becoming abusive. But what she did think when looking back on the experience was she wished the actual procedure had been different.
I didn't go in with a good friend or a parent or a sister. I went by myself.
She didn't want anyone else to have to go through this alone. So that's why she offered to open up her house.
And yeah, I gotta say, you know, as I'm hearing you explain this, it also seems kind of bold to make these offers on social media. Did you hear any concerns about that?
Yeah. So actually, that second person, Michelle Ross, when she posted it initially, she says there were hundreds of people raising their hands saying, I'll do this too. You can come stay with me. And then after a few days, it turned negative and people started saying, don't do that. Their concern is twofold. First, it's safety, and it's also privacy. So I spoke to someone named Kate Glynn about this. She is from the Abortions Rights Fund of Western Massachusetts. And she said she really appreciates the sentiment, but these posts are not going in the right direction. She said when people make these offers, they tend to be thinking about themselves and not about the person who's actually getting an abortion.
Generally in the movement, we're all very clear around how to best serve the people that we're trying to help and center their experience, not center ourselves. If I'm offering a guest room, I'm offering that because it makes me feel good.
She said, you lose track of the fact that this is a medical procedure these people are getting. Here she is again.
The stuff that we don't talk about a lot is that, like, I don't want to be feeling those cramps on somebody else's toilet. I would like to be in a private space where I can, like, bleed on the sheets if that needs to happen.
In Glynn's mind, these people are better served with a private hotel room and experienced staff who've done this many times before. Plus, she told me there's really no way to vet, you know, private individuals. She said anti-abortion advocates also have spare bedrooms, and they may be offering up their room thinking they can help change someone's mind. So she ended up urging people to kind of write a check to an established organization rather than to offer a room.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, you're dealing with strangers.
Exactly.
Do we know anything about the people traveling for abortions?
It's a good question. The reality is that it's still very early, so we don't have good data on how many more people are traveling across state lines and how many more people are coming to Massachusetts. But in general, what we know is that about half of people who seek abortions here in the U.S. are below the federal poverty line. And that means a lot of them are relying on abortion funds and help from other people. Katrina Kimport is a professor at the University of California, San Francisco, and she has studied people who travel for abortions. She told me abortion funds often can't cover the full cost, and that leaves people borrowing from friends and family, taking out of their retirement accounts, taking out a loan with high interest rates. And she said these trips, which often are about 3 days away from home, involve financial burdens, logistical headaches, and also they can take an emotional toll. But her research has found that there can be a silver lining.
The emotional support, the non-judgment, and the compassion they received in their destination state, for some, they even went so far as to say it was worth the travel.
Now, I should mention one other thing. She said that very few people she has interviewed have actually taken a complete stranger up on the offer of a place to stay. Instead, they tend to go through established institutions or, you know, their own personal network, people they know.
Okay. I've also been seeing a lot of talk about camping online, which is code for helping people access abortion. What are advocates saying about the use of this term?
It is contested. Some people really love it and others hate it. So the people who love it say this is a situation that warrants a code word. The legal landscape is changing daily, and it is really hard to know what your risks are if you are aiding and abetting an abortion. And they say it harkens back to kind of pre-Roe days when people had to go underground and use kind of clandestine networks like the Jane Collective and the List to find a safe place to get care. Now, on the other side, people are saying it is not camping. It is an abortion, and use the right word. And they say that this is kind of the latest example of how the language around abortion has been changed by the political debate. So they point to a lot of examples. So people saying reproductive health instead of saying the word abortion. They say the term late term abortion is a political term and not a scientific one because it implies it's very late in the pregnancy when it may not be as late as it implies. And I should say, actually, that's a term that WBUR and NPR typically don't use because it's not specific. The woman we heard from before, Kate Glynn, talked to me about this. And she said she does not like the term camping.
We are letting the opposition run the debate and run the emotion. I hope people continue to use the word abortion because we need to not stop talking about it.
And just like so many facets of this topic, the language here is debated.
Right. Yeah, understandably so. I mean, it makes me think of the phrase critical race theory, how that meant one thing and then it became another as it got filtered in through politics and all that. So,
yeah,
I definitely understand what they're talking about for sure. Gabriella, thank you so much for breaking this down. You know, it's very interesting, and I'm sure you'll be keeping an eye on it. And so while I've got you, I have one more question I'd like to ask you.
Sure.
You know, healthcare is a heavily politicized issue, but this moment feels different, where, you know, there is a lot at stake in terms of health and individual rights. I'm wondering how all of this looks to you as someone who has covered healthcare for a long time.
Yeah, it is really fraught. I still have those images of the rallies that happened right after the decision was leaked in my head. I have to say, though, the passion on both sides reminds me of some of the debates around other health topics that we have seen in the not too distant past or the almost the present. So things like physician assisted suicide, legalizing medical marijuana, the COVID precautions. These are topics that people feel really passionate about. And my sense is that increasingly, as we look at health and healthcare, what people's options are will look very different depending on where you live. And abortion care and abortion access is a great example of that.
Yeah. Do you think that a lot of that is because these topics within healthcare, so much of them have been removed from science and data, you know, like the experts are telling you that it's not so bad or it is so bad, and there's just an unwillingness to accept that?
Yeah. One thing that I think is happening is that often the federal government is deferring to kind of the state or local government in these, or the individual. But there mm-hmm. is kind of a sense that the federal government is not willing to make these big sweeping decisions. And thus, it does become a much more local and personal decision and difference based on what you have access to.
Mm. Understood. Gabriella, thanks so much for coming through.
Thank you.
That's WBUR's Gabriella Emanuel reporting on the debate among abortion rights activists and how best to support those who need to travel for abortion care. And that's all for today. This episode was produced by Franny Monahan with sound design from Emily Jankowski, Matt Reed, and Paul Vikas. It was edited by Ben Brock Johnson. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Darryl C. Murphy. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Do you feel happier when you're connected to your community? If so, you should check out Radio Boston, WBUR's local daily news magazine, where the town hall meets the kitchen table. Radio Boston is a great way to stay connected to what's happening in our city and our region 5 days a week. Just search for Radio Boston in your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe.